I pray this morning, Father, as we enter into this message, that we ourselves will be calm as little children, dependent, trusting, totally, Father, yielding ourselves to the will of God as children do to parents. I pray, dear God, that your will be done today. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. You're a good kid. You ever hear anyone tell you that? Probably sometimes we all have it said to us or to someone else. I see one head kind of going, no. I want to say this to you, you especially who shook your head, no. You're a good kid. You're a good kid. Let's say that. You're a good kid. Amen. Harriet Beecher Stowe. In her book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, had a great impact upon the political movement of that day concerning slavery. But not only did she have a great political impact, the minds of the North and South were opened up. And they began to think of the moral aspect of slavery. I mention her today because this is Youth Sunday. And if you have read her story, you will find that the greatest writing in all of her life was written when she was 12 years old. The children in the class were asked to write an essay. And when her essay was read, she got a standing ovation from the entire crowd. And her essay was picked to be read at the graduation exercises. She tells about that moment. She says it was the greatest award of her entire life. And later on in her biography, she says these words, "As I read my essay at 12 years old, the plan of my entire life took place. Because that day, at 12 years old, I saw a smile on my father's face, and he gave me a thumbs up. I knew then what I was going to be. I knew right then, because of my father's smile, I would be a great writer. My, how simple it is that in the life of Harriet Beecher Stowe, a smile said to her what a million words couldn't say. And that smile from her father said to her, I'm well pleased with you. You're a good kid. Just a smile, but listen today. We need to hear what God has to say with us, that a father's smile or a mother's nod has great power in it. It has power to change the life of the one to whom that smile or that nod is given, if it be a child or no. Maybe today, just maybe your hand clap was the thing that maybe one or two of these young people needs to see what they desire to do in the future and move forward to do God's work or secular work in life. And it has great power, and every young person needs to hear some words sometime. Well done. And I believe we can all say that already this morning concerning our young people. Well done. You are a good kid. And they need to know that they are needed and that they are loved and that they are appreciated. And truly, they are appreciated. We do not know what it takes, but the Bible says, or Mark says to us in our text, that when Jesus was baptized, when He came up out of the water, that the Spirit of God in the form of a dove lit upon Him. But more important than the Holy Spirit was a voice. A voice that Mark said came from heaven itself. It was a voice of Father God. And it said to Jesus, "You're my beloved Son and I'm very pleased with you." Oh, that our children of our time could hear those words, and I pray they do, but what an affirmation from the Heavenly Father to a world. The one that John is baptizing is my Son, and I am well pleased with Him. And another writer said, "He's my beloved Son, listen to Him. He has something to say to you from me, God." And so it is very important that Jesus heard a voice. And another writer said this in Luke 2 and 52, and it said concerning his young life, that as he grew, he spirit in wisdom and in the stature, in favor of not only man, but in favor of God. And that's why it's important that our young people serve God, because God loves them and God is well pleased with you as our young people, as we are today. And always remember this. You never know when, as an adult, you'll be back. You never know, as an adult, that you'll be back, maybe standing right here where I am today. Or maybe standing as an adult where Stephen Gatton stood today. I remember as a young person, and I'll move on hurriedly, but I remember a voice that when I first met God, this voice never shut up. This voice said to me as a young Christian, "I'm so proud of you. You're one of the greatest people in the world. You're going to do great things." And even if it was just to please Mrs. Elizabeth Patterson, I could be proud today that I'm here. Because I couldn't see much in me except a browser and one who was a drinker for around the world twice. But her voice that said to me how important I was and how special I was. Never did I ever believe that on this youth day I'd be here behind this pulpit. You may be back. You may be back in the same capacity as I am here today, or anyone else, or you may be here in the capacity of one thing that is so important and we don't give it much praise, and that's singing in the choir. I said to the young people today, what you do is important, it's worship, but make sure of one thing, that those in the back hear what you're saying or the service isn't worth having. Did I not say that, young people? And they did, and they did a good job. And so remember this, that our young people need to hear from mothers and fathers and from the church, from those who care about them. You're something special. You're great. You have great potential. You can become what you desire to come if God's in it. And so the service just isn't a service of youth today. The service our youth put on is a worship unto God. To worship God. And that is a part of life. What does it mean to be self-filling? There's a thing we call a self-filling prophecy. And what it means is this. It means that we sometimes tend to conform to what the image that we have of ourselves. If we see ourselves as worthless, if we see ourselves as clumsy, we will tend to be worthless and clumsy. Why not? Everybody says that what we are. And I begin to believe it, so I might as well not try to please anyone. I'll just be clumsy and I'll act worthless. But I say to you today that within every individual, young and adults alike, there is great potential. God has something not only you can do, He has some things you can't do by yourself. And only God can help you to do them. And that's what's important about young lives, that we serve God in our young lives. So when we grow up, we will know how to serve God in whatever capacity that He called me. And if someone tells you you're special and you're intelligent and you are a good kid, we tend to move toward that direction of being intelligent, of being a good kid, of being something special. And that is called self-folding. Moving toward what we believe ourselves to be. There's a story that Ron Lee Dunn tells in a book that he had written. He tells a story of two altar boys. One was born in Eastern Europe. And the other one was born in a small town in the state of Illinois. And both of them had sort of the same experience, though worlds apart. For each boy was asked to serve as an altar boy for the priest in the parish. And they both did something that we all tend to do sometime. As they were serving the communion glass, they both spilt it. And it lit on the carpet. But that's where the stories separate. The priest in Eastern Europe took the young boy and shook him and called him a stumbling off and said to him, "Leave the altar." Same story, but yet different attitudes. This young boy in Eastern Europe grew up to be Joseph Broz Tito. Anti-God, a communist. Well, preacher, you don't know that it was because of that. No, I don't. I'm just trying to relate two stories of two people and the outcome of their lives. The other was a young boy from El Paso, Illinois. Probably about 20 miles north of Bloomington, Illinois. And when he spilt the communion glass, he knew he had did something what he thought was terribly wrong. But the priest of the parish got down to where he was crying and looked him in the face and said to him, "Son, it's all right. There's no harm been done. You'll do better the next time." And when we read about this young man, we will know, many of us, by seeing his face on television so many times and hearing of him and reading concerning him. He became the Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, a man well loved by everyone that heard his message concerning God. And he was born and raised and served as that altar boy just a few miles up north from us. What an outcome. Pablo Picasso, you know him, or you've heard of him, or you've seen his painting. He told his story about his life, and he was a great Spanish painter. But he told about his mother. And he said, "I knew that someday I would have to be something or someone great or something. Because my mother would always say to me, 'Son, if you become a soldier, you will be the general of the army. And son, if you would just choose to become a monk, you will end up being the Pope.' And he said, those words never left my mind as a young person. But he said, I wound up just simply being Pablo Picasso. But you and I know of his greatness. Was it those words? He says it was. That he felt whatever he would decide to become in life, he would be great because his mother always told him he would be great. Many parents don't tell this to our children. They're just kids who we shove out of the way sometimes. They're just children who, and I remember my mother saying it when we had company and things like that. You know me, I've always got something important to say. Just between me and you, Al. But every time I'd say, she'd say, shut your mouth. Don't you know there's adults here talking? I don't even remember what it was I had to say so important because I never got to say it. I don't remember my mother ever telling me I'd be someone great. But in God's sight, I'm great. And in God's sight, you're great. Oh, I remember my mother praising me if I would make a great play in football and she'd be out on the field to see if I was hurt. But it means something to us. And it means something to our young people who are here today. Not only from their parents do they need to hear those words, what they can become, someone great, and that they are great kids. Because they are. They need to hear it from us also in the house of God as we worship God with them. You believe this, and you believe this. Their eyes are on you. And the example that you're showing as a child of God, it just might wear off on them. So I pray you're serving God to the best of your ability so they can say, I'd like to be just like so-and-so in church. I'd like to be a leader like so-and-so, serving God like so-and-so. And they're watching you. And you can be an example to them, whether good or whether bad. I don't know what you think about Picasso's painting, but you'll have to admit one thing. He had a wise mother. Because she always encouraged him. We all need someone who'll believe in us. Someone who'll say to us when we don't think we can, you can do it. You can do it. And that means so much to us who feel we can't do it. I said it to God. I want you to preach. I can't do it. You don't know me. How foolish I was. He knew me better than I knew me. And so we need someone who will trust in us. We need someone who will tell us, who will tell them, I love you. I trust in you. I've got confidence in you. I appreciate you. I want to say this today. I appreciate these young people not just because they took over the service. I appreciate them for that. But most of all, I appreciate them because they are who they are. Now, I want to say this, and I say it in all love. The little girl was back here just talking up a storm in the choir. Now, folks, you don't have to look for her. That's who she is. She's a precious little girl who makes a little noise. But I can overcome that. And so can she. And one day she might be the one up here leading this singing or leading a large woman's group or something. And so we need to say to them, sincerity, I've got confidence in you. I appreciate you. And though you make mistakes, that's all right. You can believe me. Once in my life I made a mistake. Don't remember where it was or when it was, but I made one. Now, my wife needs to keep quiet because she knows a million times, and I don't want her to get started. But we do. But what we do, if we make mistakes serving God, that's all right. Because if you never make a mistake, you're not doing too much. And so we want our young people to realize that. They need to have a dream, and they need to strive reach that dream. Maybe one of these boys here, maybe they have seen somebody at basketball and they desire to be a basketball coach in their life sometime. You can do it. You can do it if you want to do it, because if you get a dream and you strive for the dream, you'll become it because you'll put the greatest effort forward to become what your dream is. So you can do it. Whatever it is you choose, you can do it because you're a good kid. Because you're respected and because we appreciate you as you come on the scene helping us. But another thing we need to do. We need to separate the worth of our young people from their deeds. Now, I want to use me, and I'm sure that some of you can apply this to your own life. I told you in a message a long, long time ago that as a boy, every day I would go by the supermarket and I would pick me up an apple and eat it. Remember I told you that story? I do. And one day the man comes out and he says to me, "What are you doing, son?" "Just eating an apple." "Where'd you get the apple?" "Out of that basket right there." "Did you pay for the apple?" "No, I didn't pay for no apple." So he told me what thievery was. He said, "You shouldn't. Now, if I give you an apple, it's okay, but if you're going to eat an apple, you got to pay for it." But I want to tell you something. I may have took that apple, and somebody may have called me a little thief, but it didn't make me a thief. I'm not a thief today. I've heard young people lie, and we've probably all been down there. "Oh, no, don't nobody shake your head no, because I'm going to see you. I'll point you out." We probably all told what we call this little white lie, or "I was just kidding." But it didn't make you a liar. And we need to separate the deed that a kid does from their potential. And they are potentially capable of becoming whatever it is in life they want to be, or whatever it is in life that God wants them to be. You can be that. Have a dream and reach for that dream. For you see, when those two boys spilt that communion glass, that didn't mean they was bad. That didn't mean they were oafs. That didn't mean they were worthless. That didn't mean they would never grow up to be nothing. And I've heard that said even in, not my family, but in my family with my mother and dad. "You'll never grow up to be worth anything." Well, maybe I haven't, but that's all right. I'm pleased. And as long as I hear the voice from above saying, "I'm pleased with you," I'm satisfied. Amen. And young people, I say to you today, others may think wrongly of you when you haven't did no wrong, but God loves you. And God died for you that you could be what you want to be. And with God, you can be the preacher, you can be the song leader, you can be the missionary, you can be whatever it is God called you to do. But know this, you can do it. You can do it, even though that you make mistakes. And so they weren't kids to be punished, but they were those to be encouraged. "It's okay, son. There's nothing hurt. We can wipe it up. We can clean it up. And you'll do better next time." And we need to hear them things. But you know, it's not easy being a parent sometimes. Now you parents, all you that have had children, I say it's not easy to be a parent sometimes. Anybody else like me? I thought so. It's rough. A mother had three preschoolers and they were tearing up the joint. And a lady approached her and said to her, "If you had it to do all over again, would you still have children?" She said, "Oh yeah, but not these ones." That's life. That's what becomes of that. A lady takes her children to the pediatrician. And she had an important question on her mind. And she said to the pediatrician, "When should I put my children to bed?" And he replied, "While you yet have strength." It's hard to be a parent sometimes. But believe me, it's not hard to love if you want to love. The capability is there. The essential of love is built within every one of us from Almighty God. Yes. It's one thing to say to a child, "You've done a bad thing, but it's all right." But it's yet another thing to say to the child, "You're a bad boy." A daughter broke a dish. The mother says, "You're bad, bad, bad." I've heard that. I've heard that. But before long, have you noticed? That same child goes to the same mother, pulls on her dress or whatever, and the mother looks down and says yes, and the little girl says nothing. But in her eyes, there's that ever-pressing question. Do you still love me? Am I worth loving? I broke the dish. Am I worth anything? We have got to answer that to our young people. You see, Jesus went to a cross, or went to the cross, for a certain thing. To separate my sinful nature from my capacity and my capabilities. It is true that Jesus hates sin. Say that. Jesus hates sin. That's truth. But Jesus loves the sinner. Say that. But Jesus loves the sinner. And no one here has got by with not being a sinner. For we have all sinned and become short of the glory of God. And there's one righteous, none righteous, no, not one. So we've all been down that road. But Jesus, from the cross, He looks at our deed and He says to us in the midst of it all, when we bring it to remembrance how wrong we've been, how bad we've been, He says, I still love you. Melba, Jesus said, Melba, I love you. Diane, Jesus said, Diane, I love you. From the cross. I know you two ladies I meant out have never did nothing wrong, so we'll leave that past. But regardless of what we have done, Jesus says on the cross, I love you. I don't love your deed, I don't love sin, but I love you. I'm dying here that through me you might have life. But some children have grown up, and as they're grown up, even adults still bear the scars of their bringing up. Some things happen in life that kind of set them down, and they begin to ask, was life worth living? Does somebody still love me? Does anybody care? But we care. I want to close with a little story that I think is much valuable. And sometimes we need to look through the mist of love and see what love really is on the other side of the mist. A lady had a very, 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 very valuable vase. And she had it in the nook on a little shelf where no one would break it. But the little girl in her play had something in her hand, and it hit the vase and it fell in the floor and broke. And right away she thought, oh, Mom's going to kill me. Oh, that vase was so valuable, so valuable. And she just fell in the floor and began screaming and hurt and crying. And her mother came in and took her in her arms and loved her and kissed her. And her mother said, what's wrong? What's wrong? The little girl in a broken voice said, I broke your valuable vase. And the mother said, oh, that's all right. I thought, honey, that you were hurt. That little girl, as she grew up, she tells this from a stage. She said, that day and that day alone, I learned a great lesson. I learned that I was the treasure in my mother's house. I learned that I was the thing of value. I learned that I was more important than anything else that my mother possessed. Oh, that every child could grow up with that kind of a feeling. I'm my family's treasure. I'm the treasure in my house. Youth, I'm so proud of you today. And as I look at you, I don't know what you will become, but I know this. You can become what your dream is. You can become what God wants you to be. And never forget this, that we, many of us, are passing along life's trail. I give you an example. Just this morning, Betty's mother came over, and she had a picture. And I hear what everybody says, and sometimes I keep it on my mind. She said words something like this: I want them to have this picture because I'm not going to live much longer and I won't need it. Is that your words? What was she saying? She's saying that some of us were heading down the home stretch. We're not going to be here. And what's the most important thing in my life when I know that is knowing this, that when I'm gone, God will have someone else to take my place. And probably, it will be some of you young people who have led the service today. As those who play the instruments of music come forward, and Mr. Gatton comes forward with the invitation song this morning. In your life, young people, get a dream. Dream big, and then strive to accomplish that dream. We are for you because you're good kids, and we love you. He's going to lead us in a song this morning that's on page 187. We're going to sing the first, second, and last verse. Let us stand, please, if you would.